Hi, it's Azure Friday, and we're talking about Linux Virtual Machine Management with Kundana Palagiri. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming back.
Good to be here again.
What do you have for me?
Today we're going to talk about Linux Virtual Management. What are the options when you're creating Linux Virtual Machines? Mm-hmm. And once you set up your machines, how can you automate some of the common management tasks? Mm-hmm. Azure has been supporting Linux for a while now. If you want to create a brand new Linux Virtual Machine, you could go to Azure portal and create one. So I'm going to do a quick one-on-one to cover the basics, and then we'll jump into the VM management aspects.
Good.
So, browsing to the portal.
You'll need to duplicate your screen.
Oh, sorry about that. Duplicate. All right. So, when I go to the Azure portal, let me go to the Ibiza portal. So, I can here go browse and go to everything and create a new VM. Mm-hmm. And from here, I have already loaded one. So when I go to virtual machines, you see all the virtual machines options here. And if you can see here, there are a lot of Linux queues that we support with Ubuntu Server and SUSE. So there are two sources for images if you want to create a Linux VM. Mm-hmm. One is the gallery images, where we work with the distro publishers to publish the image. Mm-hmm. And then we have VM Depot, where community publishes their images. And what Ibiza portal does is it pulls images from both the locations. Mm. So from here, I can actually see some of this. Ubuntu Server is a distro image, but if I actually type here, say VM Depot, it's going to show me the images that it's pulling from VM Depot. So from Ibiza portal, like as you can see, there are all these VM Depot images, but these are published user images. You know, they come with a different sort of support agreement, etc.
Right. So this is an aggregated view of both community images and the official distributions.
Yeah, and I can create the Linux VM from here, even the community distribution as well.
Okay.
So this is how you get started to create a VM, and to do it from PowerShell and to automate it, you need the Azure node-based Azure CLI. So I can go to Azure download site, and once I can install the Azure CLI, pretty straightforward to install. And once it's up, I've got my node set up. You have to give your subscription information, etc. And then from here, you know, you can do any of the VM management operations. You know, create VM, create extensions, delete, all of these things can be supported here.
Right, and even though that we're in Windows here, this is like you said, it's written in Node.
This is
so
written in Node.
So I can use this anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So if you see, there are separate downloaders for Windows, Mac, and Linux, so you can download based on your environment and use the corresponding one. Mm-hmm. So with this, these two things will help you create a virtual machine in Linux. And then after that, you want to automate some of the common VM management operations for Linux. And this is where we go back to the extensions that we've covered in one of the previous sessions, like how we can use extensions to automate the common VM management tasks. Mm-hmm. The first one we're going to talk about is the custom script extension for Linux. So if you set up a Linux VM, one of the common things you might do is install all the packages from the corresponding package manager. Mm-hmm. If I want to very simple packages like set up an Apache server or WordPress, there are sort of packages you download, some tools you can, some scripts, some command line operations you could do to mm-hmm. run. So what custom script basically does is you can author those scripts, and you can put those scripts either in a storage location or in a GitHub location. And then you can tell your VM to download those scripts and execute it on the VM.
Ah, I see. So rather than me just keeping a text file somewhere with all my apt-get and this and that, I put it in storage, and will the VM just run it the first time it starts up?
Yeah, it can run any time. It can run it when it starts up, mm-hmm. or in the middle. If it's a running VM, you want to issue an update command and say, hey, go get these scripts and run it. So it can do any time while it's running. Hmm. Okay. So just a couple small. So let me show you a very basic example. So I have written a few scripts here. Like the most basic one is install Apache. I could set up install my Java environment here, or if I have a LAMS tank, I could set up WordPress. So any of these scripts, it's a basic shell script. One very neat thing about the Linux custom script extension is it can run script in any language. It can run Ruby, Python, as long as the interpreter or the engine is on the VM, it can run any script.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is this different from me, puttying in or SSHing in and doing it myself?
Yeah, so if you're puttying, you need to connect to multiple VMs and do it one at a time.
Right.
But if you put this script in one central location in GitHub and write like PowerShell to say, hey, here are all these VMs, and run the script, and it'll go execute on each of them.
I see. So I could for loop over my 100 yeah. VMs as opposed to having to SSH manually.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So the way you do it is if I let me go back to my VM. I have created a virtual machine here. Browse. So I have created a Ubuntu distribution VM here, mm-hmm. and in this I go here and say add an extension. It takes a little while to. Okay, yeah. There you go. So we have a few extensions for Linux. One of them is the custom script extension for Linux. Mm-hmm. So here I go and say, pick a file, like the script file that I've just created. So I want to install Apache.
And in this case, you're picking it right off of your disk.
In this case, I'm picking it from my local laptop, mm-hmm. but if I write an automation using Azure CLI, I can pull it from storage or GitHub locations.
Mm, okay.
So do create VM, and this is going to like add that extension. And to just look at the status of, I have previously created another VM, and I want to show it. It takes a few minutes to run, but when it finishes execution, here's how the output looks like.
And is it running that script at the moment that you added that?
Yeah, the VM I've already created. Mm-hmm. It's there. Now I have added the script and it's running at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I go here, I have added custom script on this version.
You have Chef on there and you have your custom script
yeah,
for Linux.
Yeah, yeah. As you can see, I can get the script output as well from my console.
Mm-hmm.
Like the script has, in this VM, it has installed Apache and all the script output. It has grabbed from the VM and it's showing in the portal.
And this is not interactive, so you had to write your script such that it said yes to the appropriate things
yeah,
so that it completed.
Exactly. Of course, yes. So, as you can see, right, custom script is a very simple script. It's a very simple concept, but yet it's very powerful because it can automate all these scenarios. So the next thing we're going to do is a little bit more powerful tools, like mm-hmm. beyond custom script. And this is where we're going to look at Chef and Puppet. Chef and Puppet are third-party tools that we have integrated with Azure. And Chef is a configuration management tool that can automate deployment of infrastructure mm-hmm. and all the packages that need to go on that VM. And the basic core concept of Chef is infrastructure config is code, and you declaratively define what you want to do, all the operations that you want to do on the VM.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done is by working with the Chef team, we've looked at like the most common operations a Chef user would do. And we have taken that and we've seen like how can we make this experience better on Azure. And we've added a few integration points. So if you look at the common tasks a Chef user would do is first of all, they would set up their Chef server. So Chef comes in as client server mode. There is a single server and there are multiple nodes that the server can manage.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can either set up your server or you can get a subscription and sign up for a hosted Chef account.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I'm going to demoing setting up an account, a hosted Chef account. Once I set up my server, then as an administrator, I would go and author what I call cookbooks or cookbooks, which consists of many recipes. Recipes is the code for managing the resource. You know, mm-hmm. I have put a sample recipe here. It says, in this recipe, the action it's doing is install up. It is downloading the package mm-hmm. and the action is install. And the next step is it is starting the Apache server. And what Chef does is every time the VM comes up, it ensures that VM is in this desired state.
I see. So it's a little more sophisticated than just writing a script.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to tell it which distro it has to go. It knows if you're in Ubuntu, go to apt. If you're in a different Linux distro, go to a corresponding package manager. It knows that. And it every time it checks, so is the service started or stopped that state. Right. So the second step you would do is author these recipes. And once you have this as a Chef administrator, you would mm-hmm. go provision the infrastructure in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bootstrap your Chef agent on all the VMs
mm-hmm.
and give it information so it can talk to the server, talk to the Shift server.
Bootstrapping those agents, that's what our extension provides?
That's what our extension provides, exactly. And you not only bootstrap the Shift agent, you tell the Shift agent that, hey, here's your Shift server. You can, you know, make a connection with that Shift server. Mm-hmm. And the third thing the publisher would admin would do is they have taken these cookbooks. They take these recipes and cookbooks and say, now on these VMs, I am going to apply these cookbooks. And it's called a run list. So I can say, create my VM, and then run this run list. And that run list is going to like do all the configuration that was authored in this recipe. So if you look at this steps three and the creating and bootstrapping and deploying run list, these are the three things where we have actually provided a good integration story with Azure. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick look at the one. So So I can do it two ways. If I want to do it from portal, which is very easy to demo, so I'm picking portal, is I go to my VM. And in this VM, I can say add an extension. This already has Chef, so I'll pick a different one. Okay, here. Okay, so we go add an extension. Mm-hmm. Oh, this was a previous run. Script that I ran, it completed the
Apache. This is where you just installed Apache a moment ago.
Yeah. So here, if you see, there is a Linux version of Chef. There is a Windows version of Chef as well. If it was a Windows VM, it would show me the Windows version of Chef.
Okay.
Now it's showing me the Linux version. And here I can say there are a few things. I am bootstrapping my Chef client, and my Chef client needs to know where the Chef server is. And so there are two things it Chef needs. One, it's called a Ruby file. It's called a client RB file. This file contains information about my Chef server.
So it's a configuration file.
It's a configuration file. It pretty much looks like this. So that Chef server URL is my hosted Chef server URL. Mm-hmm. And that validator key is telling the server that, hey, you know, here's my public key for you to authenticate me. Mm-hmm. So in the UI, what I've done is I can select my validator key and the configuration file. And here is where I specify the run list. So if I have a cookbook, I've already authored a cookbook called Install Apache, mm-hmm. and I have uploaded it. So I can
You've uploaded it to the Chef Central server?
No, I have uploaded it to my GitHub location.
Your GitHub location.
Yeah. So and then from GitHub location, I can push it to my Chef server. There are some command lines I can use to push it to my Chef server.
And the GitHub location was inside the client RB?
I can add it to my client RB, and then I can push it to my Chef server. Now, at this point, my Chef server has a set of recipes that it already knows. Mm-hmm. I'm adding these clients. Now I can tell that, hey, take these recipes, run it on these clients.
Gotcha.
So in this command, I can actually say something called run list, and I can specify, you know, my install Apache was the recipe I wrote.
Yeah, spell that right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right.
So by doing this, what I'm done is I'm basically taking care of all the bootstrapping requirements in one step. Hmm. Right, so I'm setting it up. So this is how Chef works, and you can actually automate all of this using, if you are an Azure customer and you're very comfortable with Azure CLI, you can do it from Azure CLI. If you are a Chef user, then Chef has an interface called Knife, using which you could do the same things, like, you know, create VMs, add extensions, everything from the Knife CLI. So this is the integration that Chef team has done. Okay, so quickly jumping onto Puppet. Puppet is a very similar concept. Mm-hmm. Basically, with Puppet is also a configuration management tool where you configure code. Puppet has two pieces. One is setting up the server and one is setting up the client. And what we have done with Azure is there is no hosted version for Puppet. You have to set up your server. Mm-hmm. So in Azure, we have provided an image using which I can create my Puppet master.
From within the Azure Gallery.
Yeah, I can create an Azure Gallery. So if I go here and I browse to my images, okay, create everything. Virtual machines.
Everything?
Yeah. Okay.
So with Chef, they have a chef.com, kind of a hosted environment, but you can go and create your own Puppet server within Azure.
Within
and
Azure.
That will
That's
go
right.
and talk to your
So
Azure
this
Guest.
Is a trial version. You can get started with this, and then you can get the license to activate it. So this is a Puppet Master. Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward. It's actually just creating this instance. You have some endpoints that you need to define, and once you set it up, the Puppet Master is ready at this point. So mm-hmm. Just to quickly look at those instructions. So there are a few endpoints that you need to specify so the Puppet client can connect to the Puppet Master. Now once my server is up, the next thing I need to go is to add a Puppet client. Mm-hmm. And this thing can be done as an extension for Windows. For Linux, we don't have an extension yet at this point, but we are working with them. But if it is a Windows client, because the Puppet Master is Linux, it can manage both Windows and Linux clients.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and for a Windows client, you could go and from using an extension, there is an extension called Puppet extension, you could add it to it. So the client is set up. So that's Puppet. And quickly, the last thing I want to talk about is another very common management task, which is patching your Linux, your VMs. So let's say you have a lot, 10 of them, and if all of them get patched at the same time, then they'll all go down, right? So you want some ability to orchestrate patching of those VMs. So what we have done for that is the Linux extension team has developed this patching orchestrator extension. It's actually very straightforward. It is, it's an extension which is not in the UI yet. It's making its way to the UI, but it can be done from PowerShell, from Azure CLI. If you look at it, I have set some configurations that, reboot. It takes some standard configurations. Do I need to reboot my machine after patching? Interval of weeks, as in is it every week, every other week? Which day of the week? What is the patch start time and what category of patches to be downloaded and the install duration. So if I have 10 VMs, I can pick a schedule that, the first one goes on Sunday, the second one goes on Monday, mm-hmm. at a different time. And then once you have defined the patch schedule, you basically go to Azure CLI and, add this extension. And I know extension can be added when its VM is getting created or while it's running. At that point, it actually, all these VMs on which have this patching orchestrator patch at that schedule only, ensuring more availability.
And who is running that? Is it a process inside of that Linux machine, or is it a scheduler outside?
It's a process that's inside the virtual machine that's running this.
That's really useful.
This is very, very very helpful, actually, if you have multiple VMs, because one of the, this is way for Windows as well, and this is very, very common administrative task, right? Orchestrating updates on the VMs.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
We're learning all about advanced virtual machine management on Linux here on Azure Friday.